The Guardian.
I'm James Randerson, and this is Science Extra from The Guardian. Raymond Kurzweil is one of the world's most influential futurists and a pioneer in the fields of artificial intelligence, transhumanism, and nanotechnology. He's currently on an illustrious panel discussing how engineering and technology can address and eventually overcome our current environmental and energy crises, as well as problems like disease, aging, and even poverty. He told me why.
Well, in my view, what's fueling our ability to do this is the exponential growth of information technology and the growing purview of information technology being able to affect ultimately all these different areas. In terms of the exponential growth of information technology, I mean, a good example is when I came to MIT 40 years ago, there was one computer shared by thousands of students. It cost $11 million. The computer on your cell phone today is a million times cheaper, a million times smaller, and a thousand times more powerful. That's a billion-fold increase in capability or price performance. We'll make another billion-fold increase in price performance of information technology over the next 25 years. And it's not just computers. It's affecting other areas, like, for example, health and medicine. Health and medicine did not used to be an information technology. It was hit or miss. But now that we have the genome, now that we have means of turning on and off genes and enzymes, of simulating biology, of designing specific molecules that can carry out very specific tasks, it is an information technology. And therefore, it's subject to this law of accelerating returns, as I call it. And so these technologies will be a thousand times more powerful than they are today in 10 years, a million times more powerful in 20 years, and we'll be able to, I believe, overcome these major diseases and aging processes, you know, within that kind of time frame. And I described a scenario where we can solve the energy problem, completely replace fossil fuels within 20 years with nano-engineered solar panels and store the energy in nano-engineered fuel cells. That's a form of information technology, and we have plenty of sunlight to do that with. We have 10,000 times more than we need.
Is the problem at the moment that energy technologies are not, by and large, an information technology realm, if you like, and so they haven't made that transition that medicine has?
Well, certainly most of energy is not an information technology. 85% of energy comes from fossil fuels, and that's a 19th century technology. But there is this burgeoning renewable form of energy. Already we get over 1% of energy from wind and solar, but it's doubling every 2 years. Doubling every 2 years means multiplying by 1,000 in 20 years. Actually, well within that time, we only need 7 more doublings, which we can do in 14 years, to meet 100% of our energy needs from these renewable forms. And solar, I think, actually has the most potential because we only have to capture one part in 10,000. So it's going to grow, and it's going to ultimately push out fossil fuels. If for no other reason, it'll be much less expensive. Larry Page of Google and I, who basically drafted the energy plan, believe that the tipping point where energy from solar, the cost per watt, will be less than the cost per watt from coal and oil is only 5 years away.
Do governments and regulators sort of have to do anything? I mean, it almost sounds as if, you know, this is going to happen of its own accord. It's almost inevitable. Or, you know, is there something that government should be doing?
There is a lot of force behind this now. There's billions of dollars of venture capital. But there's a lot that governments can do to accelerate it. They can, first of all, invest in it. They can really charge the real cost of these other forms. Fossil fuels cause all kinds of havoc with the environment, which is costly and should be taxed to reflect that real cost. And if they did that, it would basically bring that tipping point much sooner. Because not only will ultimately the cost per watt just be cheaper from solar energy, but it doesn't cause this environmental destruction. So if we actually charged producers of energy from coal and, you know, and oil, what it really costs society in terms of its environmental impact, it would that tipping point would be achieved more quickly.
And just finally, towards the end there, you mentioned that technology is going to become more and more integrated into our clothing and then into our bodies. Could you say a little bit about that?
Well, technology has been getting smaller and smaller. I mean, the computers now are in our pockets, and they're going to ultimately be woven in our clothing and in our belt buckles. We'll have devices in our eyeglasses that write images directly to our retinas, creating full immersion displays or full immersion virtual reality. These already exist. They're expensive today, but because they are information technology, they'll come down by half every year, and they'll be inexpensive within 5 years. I would say within, you know, early within the next decade, computers will be all everywhere in the environment. In terms of going into our bodies, there are already dozens of animal experiments of nano-engineered blood cell-sized devices going inside their bloodstream and producing therapeutic effects. One scientist cured type 1 diabetes with a blood cell-sized device. Another scientist has a device that goes in the bloodstream and actually detects cancer cells and destroys them. And there's dozens of experiments like this. So that kind of nanotechnology in the bloodstream is further out. That's probably 20 years away, but that's going to happen as well, because these technologies are also growing exponentially in power and shrinking exponentially in size.
That was Raymond Kurzweil speaking to me at the AAAS Science Conference in Boston. For more interviews like this and the very best news and analysis from the worlds of science, technology and the environment, check out our Science Weekly podcast at guardian.co.uk/audio.
The Guardian.